Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 29 of Geeking with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am a geeky mom. Geeky mom getting ready to go to Disney World. Woo-hoo! Yes, it's awesome and not at the same time. So I am joined by fellow mom, Regina McMenemy, who is head geek at the Geek Embassy and host of Game On Girl podcast. Hi, Regina.
Hello.
And joined by Stephen Dutzman, our resident dad, who is editor and founder of Engaged Family Gaming. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. We're recording this at night, listeners, and
we might have a slightly different.
Yeah, it's vibe. It's just it's night for Regina and I, and right. It is midnight.
Morning. For it's Stephen. Technically morning.
It's technically morning. For morning. Me. Right. Yes. Oh man. So yeah. So I'm going to Disney World next week, like I said, which is awesome, and not at the same time because we're so packed. We get in on Monday night. We go to Universal Studios on Tuesday to do all the Harry Potter stuff. Then we go to the Magic Kingdom on Wednesday. Thursday, sort of a free day. Isaac's going to take Anna to Water Park while I hang out with my sister, which is one of the reasons we're going. I haven't seen my sister in 4 years, So we're going to hang out together. And then Friday, we've got Hollywood Studios, Disney Hollywood Studios. Saturday, we've got Animal Kingdom. And then the Sunday, we have the other water park, whichever, I don't know, they're interchangeable, the probably. One, right? The other one, yeah, the other Disney World water park. And then we come back on Monday. So needless to say, I'm going to have some tired legs and tired feet and probably an extremely whiny child.
Yeah. So. I have now experienced the vacation fatigue that kids get.
This is going to be the biggest one. Like, we have never gone through this with her. Like, we've gone to Atlantis, but that involves just walking to the water park, you know, or we go to Disneyland, which is like 1 or 2 days of walking. I'm going to have 4 to 5 days of walking all over the place. So
swimming and sun. It's July, August. So
It's going to be crowded. Although they just opened, it's going to be hot. Yeah.
Sweating because it's Florida.
Well, you know what? We've gone to Disneyland at like the end of August, and that has been extremely hot too.
Yeah.
A couple of years we've gone, like 90 degrees ish. But they just, Universal Studios just opened a brand new Harry Potter themed ride. It's called like Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure or whatever. It opened in June. So kind of hoping a little bit that maybe most of the people are going to be spending their time in line for that ride. So the rest of the stuff will be maybe a little less crowded. I don't know. We'll see. But apparently when that ride opened, people were standing in line for 10 hours.
My gosh.
Can you imagine that? 10 hours. I mean, that's like the whole day. Like, You pay to go to the park to stand in line.
To stand in line for the entire day.
Yeah. I mean, apparently the ride is really cool from everything I've read. It's really cool. But we bought the extra express pass thing for Universal, but that ride does not accept it. So we're going to have to see if we can get in. They do like a virtual line thing, which is sort of like Disney's Fast Pass thing. But man, Universal Studios is kind of a ripoff. Their tickets are so expensive, and then they make you buy this extra express thing so that you can, like, you know, similar to Fast Pass, but I'm like, man, because like when I bought the tickets and I told Isaac, like, I'm texting him, I'm like, okay, well, this was the total, and he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I know, it's like more expensive than Disney World tickets. So but traveling around the resort is going to be fun. I know that they've got buses that go everywhere, but they also have a deal with Lyft. Lyft is like the official, non-bus transportation thing on there. And it's called the minivan. Get it? Minivan, which is completely ridiculous. But
are they going to have bows on top?
Probably. I have no idea.
Or their sticker, their Uber sticker will be the shape of a bow.
Right, yes.
Yeah. They gotta do something.
So we'll probably be doing that, even though it will be more expensive. But I mean, for shaving 15 to 20 minutes off of travel time.
Yeah.
When you're going back and forth, you know, it's kind of worth it. So, but we'll see. So looking forward to and not looking forward to that at the same time. So how's summer going for you guys? We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah.
So how's summer?
Been busy.
Steven, your boys have been at camp. Is that right?
They each go to camp 2 weeks. So
okay.
They both had their first week. They went separately to one camp. And then next week, starting on Sunday, they're at Boy Scout camp together.
No.
So it'll be very quiet in my house next week.
Nice. Gotta be looking forward to that.
I am. Although we're still trying to figure out babysitting for Maggie, so that'll be a challenge.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure it'll all work out. But yeah, it'll be very quiet. and maybe they'll detox from Fortnite a little bit.
Right. That's what I was just gonna say. No screaming about Fortnite.
Games.
So recent issue, well, I guess it's been an issue for a while. This has recently made the news about this thing called drift for the Joy-Cons, in which even if you're not moving the analog stick, it will move sort of on its own, at least within the game. So Mario will start walking, even though you haven't made him start walking. So we don't play our Switch all that much, so none of ours are subject to this problem. Steven, have you guys noticed this? Some of your controllers?
Yeah, we have two Joy-Cons that drift. So it's a problem. You know, the general solution is you can recalibrate them using the Switch hardware, and it will fix the problem temporarily. It only takes a couple of minutes. However, a report came out today from Vice that Nintendo likely to stave litigation is repairing Joy-Cons for free. So I mean that's yet to be confirmed from Nintendo, but that was from Vice, so I don't, you know, it's not some no-name 2-bit blog, so
right.
I suspect that their report is accurate, and frankly it makes sense. I mean, that's what what Microsoft did with the Red Rings, right?
Right?
Like, they figured out there was a serious problem, and they were like, well, we either fix it or we stop making consoles. And Nintendo really can't afford a hiccup with the Switch right now. It's selling super well. They can't really afford something like this. I'm sure it's a relatively cheap fix on their end.
Yes.
So, you know, so, I mean, if people are listening and they do have Joy-Con drift problems, look up how to recalibrate your Joy-Cons and try that. And if that doesn't work, call Nintendo customer service. The one thing that I can say is I've worked with them, and they are very responsive. They're very quick when it's a problem that they support the solution for. Mm-hmm. And this, if they're officially supporting the solution for this, then the hold times might be long because there will probably be a lot of people calling in. But at least you'll get your problem solved. But it is a really annoying problem. It basically, there is one Joy-Con that we're at its worst. It was completely unusable.
Oh, yeah. This is sort of, it comes on the heels of there was a class action lawsuit actually filed.
Yes.
Which may be why Nintendo has decided to fix everything for free, but who knows?
I can't sort of imagine that's not a part of it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I said, like, ours don't seem to do that, but we don't play the Switch all that much, so but you know, we're not all that impressed with the sort of the physical quality of the Joy-Cons to begin with. You know, they feel kind of light and cheap, and you know, so I'm not super surprised that there's this type of problem that has been going on. So that's that. Like Steven said, call customer support if your Joy-Cons are not behaving the way that they should be. Mm-hmm. And so since it has been a while since we talked, Harry Potter Wizards Unite has been released. And I'm enjoying that. Now, I dropped off Pokemon Go pretty quickly, but this Harry Potter game seems like there's more depth to it. Like, I don't know if Pokemon Go now has a lot more depth to it, but
it does.
It does now?
Yeah. I went back to it after having pretty much like you did, dropped off very early on. And then I went back in and I'm like, what game is this I'm playing?
Oh, cool. Because
they slowly added so much to it. It's got a lot more to it.
Okay. Because that's one thing when I picked up Harry Potter, I'm like, wow, look at all this different stuff.
That's because it's all built on Pokemon Go.
Right. Yes. But like, still, it's more interesting to me than Pokemon because
I don't care
about Pokemon.
It's got a little bit more of a story. I really like in Wizards Unite the fortress battles that you can do on your own. Because raids are really hard in Pokemon Go if you don't have people to play with. And you're not in a like highly populated area where a bunch of people end up going to a raid.
Right.
Which I can manage that on campus. There's a couple of gyms on campus for Pokemon Go, so I can manage to kind of hop in with other people sometimes when I'm on campus. Mm-hmm. But like when I walk around where I live, I'm on my own, you know? And so if it's a low level raid, I can do it. But so I really like that solo aspect of Wizards Unite, and I really like the skill tree.
It's pretty cool. Yes.
Skill tree is kind of awesome. So
yeah, I like that.
They don't have that in Pokemon Go. There's no skill tree.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I was saying about like more depth, and I sort of like, you know, I just like the crafting. I don't know if you can do that, like the potion brewing all that kind of stuff is, it's pretty cool. And like trying to figure out the little stuff you do with the potion to speed up the time. That has been fun too. Although with the ones that have like eight motions, you have to figure out. It's easier to
look
those up. You haven't?
No.
So when you're brewing a potion and you tap on the ladle or the spoon or whatever, there'll be boxes that appear at the top, and you have to do specific motions like up or down, and that will decrease the potion brewing time. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We ran through all of our data during our vacation, visiting my daughter while it was kind of a working vacation that we went on. I had to handle some stuff in California. And so while she was bored, we were like, oh, here's a hotspot to my phone because there was no internet. So she could watch videos. Yeah. And now I have no data. So I haven't actually been able to play Harry Potter Wizards Unite because we ran out of data because it won't load on my low frequency, my low bandwidth. It won't even pull up the game. Like Pokemon Go, I can still pull up and like play. You know, it's kind of crappy, but I can still at least play Pokemon Go. But Harry Potter Wizards Unite won't even like pull up on my phone with my sad data plan. So I'm looking forward to going back to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
When my data resets.
Yeah, I'm liking it. I enjoy it. Steven, have you guys been playing it?
No, because we just do the Pokemon Go thing.
Oh, okay.
Hard to play both.
Yeah.
I will keep it.
It is. We're more of a Pokemon family than Harry Potter. I suspect that when Evan has his new phone, he might try and do the Harry Potter thing because he's the Harry Potter head. But yeah, we just, there's just, you can't play both very easily. It's been way too hot to go anywhere.
Yes.
Also, so like the idea of going for a walk and catching some Pokemon, like, or doing whatever in the Harry Potter just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Cause we would die. Cause it's been really, really bad out here.
Yeah. I've heard it's been hot out here too. Like Anna has been asking for us. We have a little pool inflatable thing that we got at Costco. And she's been asking, like, since before school was out, when can we set up the pool? When can we set up the pool? which we finally did this weekend because it was actually warm enough. So let's see. Other gaming news. So I wasn't going to talk about this, but since Polygon did a story about it, it's out of the bag now. There is a new Plants vs. Zombies game on the way made by the team that made Garden Warfare. It's codenamed Picnic, which is kind of funny. But it's going to be like Garden Warfare 3. I mean, it's got to be. Like, it may not have that name, but I think, you know, it's going to be something like that for sure. And I actually got invited to do some of the alpha testing. Speaking of which, the tests are happening next week, which I can't participate in because I'm going to be at Disney World. So if you're part of like the EA testing community, you can sign up for these things. By the time this goes live, they may, all the slots may be taken, but just in case. So there's a few testing things. I'm super excited. We love Plants vs. Zombies here. Garden Warfare is awesome for a few reasons. One of which being, it's like one of the only sort of games at this point that doesn't cause me motion sickness. For some reason, I have no idea why, but I can play Garden Warfare no problem. Where like even like Tomb Raider and things are making me sick. So I don't know what it is. I don't know. Bouncing with a sunflower is easier on the motion. I have no idea why. But anyhow, so what else? Anna has been playing Viva Pinata, which has been sort of fun to watch her play that. And she started playing Trouble in Paradise. And I remember I stopped playing Trouble in Paradise pretty quickly, and I couldn't remember why for the life of me. And now that she's playing it, I remember why. they have this bad dude. He's called Professor Pester, and he comes to your garden and he will kill a pinata and wreck some stuff. But if he came every once in a while, it's like, okay, whatever. It's a strategy to get ready for him, but he comes way too frequently. And you're just kind of like, that's why I stopped playing. I remember now, I stopped playing because that just got way too annoying. I'm like, this guy comes too often. It's too much of a pain in the ass. Like, you can bribe him to leave without destroying things with like 500 gold coins. And like, the currency in that game is not, you don't get a lot of it. It takes a lot of work to get some of this currency. So, but anyhow, so it's been amusing watching her play that. And she's so excited. She's like, Mom, I just got a sweet tooth, and I attracted a this and a that. And, you know, I've made this area, and I've had all turnips there to attract the mouse mellows so that the kitty floss will come and eat the mouse mellows. And I'm like, man, you sounds like you got a strategy down there. But anyhow, so that's been fun. So it's summertime, which means it's kind of a lull in games. Is there anything else big going on, Steven, that I have failed to mention?
No, not really. No? I mean, there's just, it's weird in that this whole year is slow.
Yeah.
But it's the end of a console life cycle. Yeah. So the only exciting stuff that's happening is with Nintendo, and right now it's either bad news with the Joy-Con drift. I mean, they did announce a new Switch.
Yeah.
Since the last time we talked. So, I mean, they announced the Nintendo Switch Lite, which is going to sell like a billion copies. It's going to be insane. Right. Because they're putting out a $200 Switch 3 months before Pokemon.
Right.
I mean, there are some folks I've seen some cynical takes on the internet where people are like, oh, I don't know who this is for. I don't know who's ever going to buy this. And I was like, have you met a 6-year-old? because they're like, well, I mean, if you could get a 2DS right now for like $70, I'm like, yeah, but at its peak, parents were dropping $200 for the 3DS XL without even thinking about it. So the kids could play Pokemans. And guess what, guys? There's new Pokemans, and it only works on the Switch. And it's $200. And oh, look, it plays Smash and Zelda and Odd. Right. Like, this is just a no-brainer. The only problem I have with it, honestly, are the colors. I just think the colors were poorly chosen. And I know it's because it's the first line, and all three of us know that within like 2 years, there's going to be all sorts of crazy stuff. It just feels like a missed opportunity to put out a purple one.
Okay.
Like, specifically, it's just weird because the three colors are turquoise, like light gray, but not Nintendo light gray, like just like crappy mouse gray, and then banana yellow. So the banana yellow, okay, I get that one. That one's kind of, you know, it's yellow, yeah. It's bright. The turquoise is cool too, but like, why not atomic purple? Like the color of the GameCube. Like, it just feels like that was a missed opportunity. I'm sure they're going to do it eventually. I just think, you know, like, this is, I don't know. I mean, you guys know what I'm thinking, what I'm saying. It's just, it feels like these three colors were a poor selection to begin with. With that said, I will own at least one Switch Lite.
Yes. That's the other thing I was going to bring up, is that you've got the crazy Nintendo people that will buy the hardware multiple times every time it's updated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for us, it really comes down to, I mean, we had to have a family meeting to talk about, like, and this is serious business. Picture this. We have 5 Pokemon players in the house and only 2 Switches. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is, the Pokemon doesn't support cloud saves. And that's to prevent cheating. So your Pokemon life is stuck on whatever hardware you're using, which means we have to decide who's sharing a Switch. And so I'm sharing with Jake because I'll just play after Jake goes to sleep. But if I do that, that means Evan has to share with Megan and his mom. Now, that's probably not a huge deal because Megan doesn't play a lot.
Yeah.
And Jenna's like a responsible adult. She's probably not going to play a lot, right? You know, maybe a couple hours tops. But like, Evan was like, so I have to share with 2 people and I have to share with Maggie. Why don't you share with Maggie? And I was like, well, if I share with Maggie, that means you have to share with Jake. Do you want to? I mean, I don't want to have that fight. You're like, yeah, you're right. But we have to have a third one before Animal Crossing. So
yeah.
The good news is we have all of our birthdays between the release date of the Switch Lite and when Animal Crossing comes out next April, or when they delay it.
Hope they don't delay it again. I didn't realize it was coming in April. That'd be a perfect birthday present for me.
It would be great, but you can pre-order it for your birthday if you want. I just, I would, if it means lightening up on the crunch for those Nintendo folks, I will let the game be delayed. I say the same thing for the record. I say the same thing about Halo.
Yes. I say the same thing about everything. I mean, you can get, you know, annoyed and disappointed that something gets delayed, but at the same time, you want a better game at the end of the day.
Yeah, I would like a better game. Also, I would like my friendly neighborhood game developers to be able to see their wives and daughters, and et cetera. That's the really the most exciting news, is that Nintendo finally shut up and just announced the thing that we all knew was coming.
Right.
And it's exciting unless you are allergic to fun.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're doing there.
I mean, whatever. You can be. I mean, it's cool. Right?
You haven't trotted that allergic to fun thing out in a while.
Only because we haven't recorded a podcast regularly in a while. I mean, it's exciting even if you can be. It can be exciting even if you're not going to buy one. Like, you guys obviously don't need one. Because the 3 of you can share one Switch.
Especially house, since I don't play it.
Exactly. But this house is a war zone.
Right. Yes, I understand.
With only 2 Switches. Jeez. It's been a challenge this summer. So having a third one, even if it doesn't have all the same functions as the other 2, because obviously the Switch Lite, you can't dock it and have it go into the TV. It doesn't switch. I kind of don't care because either Jake or Maggie, they never play on the television anyway. So it's irrelevant to them.
Yeah.
So that's the news. I mean,
yeah.
Video games are slow.
Yeah, as they always are in the summer.
Movies and TV.
So San Diego Comic-Con was last week, and as always happens with San Diego Comic-Con, we get a crap ton of stuff. And this year was no different. So some of the bigger things, I think, that go with the geeky audience type thing and even gaming. So we got the trailer, first trailer for The Witcher television series that is coming on Netflix.
We did.
So that looks pretty cool.
I mean, don't talk to me about a trailer for that until Roach is like stuck inside a tree. Like, you know, like that. I was like, Who's complaining about inaccuracies because Henry Cavill doesn't have a beard? Roach is not trapped in the geometry every time you walk. I mean, come on, guys.
That's funny. I played Witcher 3 a little bit, but it didn't sort of grab me. So I was looking up stuff. I didn't realize that there was a book series because I saw in the trailer it was like based on the best-selling, you know, book series, which I didn't realize that it was. And sometimes the books have gone with the games, like Anarchy Online, for example, has its own thing that came, sort of the book came after the games. But no, I didn't realize that. And I'm like, why the hell are they just saying that it's based on books? I thought it was like a jab at video games, but apparently it's not. So.
It is very specifically so that the Netflix company does, so that the production company working on that doesn't have to pay CD Projekt Red.
No,
that's pretty much it. It's CD Projekt Red's deal with the guy who wrote those books is very slanted in favor of CD Projekt Red because he hooked them up when he was like, "What's a video game? You're never going to make anything out of this." And then the first two games were not a huge deal; like they were niche PC titles, but The Witcher 3 and eventually when they make The Witcher 4 are some of the biggest games on earth. And so Netflix specifically licensed the books with him because they can do that. I mean, it's the same dude. So Geralt looks like Geralt, but this is going to follow the story of the books, which is different than the story of the games.
Yeah.
I have not read the books.
I haven't either, but
been translated from Polish into English, so.
Yeah, I'm probably going to try and read them now, since I know that they exist. I had no idea.
I do know you like dark fantasy stuff, so.
I do, and I have been looking for, like, the new fantasy stuff to read.
He definitely kills some fantasy monsters.
Okay.
I mean, he does. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah. Okay, for sure. So other stuff. So I'm going to there's a story on, it's not really a story, on Screen Rant where they have all of the trailers embedded for everything that was shown at the show, which is what I'm looking at now. So It Chapter 2, who had a trailer before, this is the final chapter, the final trailer for this Chapter 2, which actually this trailer was not as engaging as the first trailer, but that could just be because the first trailer like captured my absolute favorite scene from the entire book from when they are kids or adults. So I was like, this is amazing. This is the scene that they're showing. This is amazing. But the other thing that's cool about the second trailer is that it doesn't feel like it gives very much away, which is good because there's one part where the guy is like he's walking in like of those crazy annoying mirror mazes that you have like in a fun house and whatever. And so like he's walking around and there's this other kid in there and I'm like cringing back. I'm like, okay, where's the jump scare? It's coming. I know it's coming.
Yeah,
but it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. So that gives me hope that maybe they have not given away very much in this trailer and that there's a lot that will be surprising in the movie, which would be super cool. Let's see. So I'm just going down the story here. So there's a new Top Gun movie coming.
I want to talk about this for a minute. This has been in development for a while. Okay. Top Gun. I actually know someone who was in Top Gun, not the movie, but like the actual thing. Top Gun is like the Green Beret Navy SEALs of Air Force pilots, right? Like you're like the dude.
Yeah.
Or the lady. I don't know what their makeup is. Yeah, I don't know how that all works. However, you are the best of the best. Mm-hmm. There is no way that you are in Top Gun. Because the plot, I mean, if you watch the thing, is that he just can't quite get a promotion. And he's just been in Top Gun since, like, the 90s. And 80s.
It was the 80s when that movie was out.
I don't know if that came out when it was, like, in the far future or in the near future or whatever. But, like, he's Tom Cruise's age.
Right.
And somehow still in Top Gun. And I'm going to be real with you guys. I have difficulty suspending disbelief for this. and I have no problem with the Avengers. Like, this is one of those things that is just so dumb. I don't know why it is happening.
That's because Tom Cruise is bored.
I don't just – all right, Tom Cruise, if you're bored, just go into the MCU. Like, be a villain, right? Like, he could do it. Like, if you're bored, do something like that. Like, produce a Netflix show. Like, I don't know. Like, do it – or, I don't know, make it so that you're not in a in Top Gun anymore. Like, maybe you're, like, a rowdy, like, Top Gun drill sergeant or something. I don't know. Like, it's just so dumb. But it's going to make money because –
right.
People like that stuff. So, I mean,
yeah, it's going to have
the
nostalgia factor too for lots of people.
And probably the soundtrack. The soundtrack will probably be pitching.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. let's see what else here. Terminator Dark Fate. I saw there was a trailer for that before. Spider-Man Far From Home, which I mean, it was completely unimpressive until what is the actress's name? Old Sarah Connor. Until she like got out of her truck and was like acting all tough.
I can't remember, but yeah, that's a big deal. The big deal is that they got a lot. The big deal is they got a lot of the original actors to come back. But Terminator's over, guys.
Right, I agree.
I mean, it was. This is Terminator is a victim of the we must bring everything back.
Yes. Yeah, Terminator and Terminator 2. I mean, after Terminator 2, everything just went down the toilet. Mm-hmm. Let's see. 21 Bridges. This was also, I saw this trailer before Spider-Man. It's kind of a weird-looking movie-ish.
It's a it's a cop drama.
It's a cop drama. I didn't quite understand the whole.
With our boy Chadwick. So.
Right, yes.
We skipped over a few things.
Oh, well, I'm still going down
the list.
I'm still right, going down.
Okay.
Maybe I'm getting to it later. So Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I did not watch this trailer because I have absolutely no interest in this. Steven, are you into Jay and Silent Bob at all?
Of course I am. Okay. Here's what's really funny about this is that it's called the reboot, but it's because it's about them rebooting the really bad, like it's not actually a reboot. It's talking about them rebooting the Blunt Man and Chronic movie that was from the last Jay and Silent movie. So Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, which was back in the day, was about Blunt Man and Chronic, and now they are rebooting Blunt Man and Chronic, and this is about them trying to stop that. The important fun fact is that Supergirl is Chronic. Yeah.
Okay.
This is just going to be really dumb because it's going to have like all sorts of people in it for no reason. This is just guest star central. Yeah. So sure, whatever. I mean, it's a Kevin Smith movie. Of course, I'm going to see it.
Of course. I assumed. And then we got Walking Dead trailers for season
they're
10.
Still
and then
this.
I know.
I can't believe it. 10 seasons, what, for real?
10 season, and then, like, there's a mid-season for Fear of the Walking Dead. I don't know. I've never watched Walking Dead, so I don't know. Another big one I've gotten to on the list, which is very, very relevant to a geeky crowd, is that Star Trek Picard had a trailer. Yeah.
I think I died. Like, how, like, speaking of things just coming back, they basically just, I mean, they there was no inkling that any of that stuff was happening, right, Regina?
Right.
I shit myself watching the trailer, and because they're like, oh, well, check it out. We got all these pieces of data. Oh, check this out. And I was like, well, so is this everyone? And then we find out later that legit it's everyone. And then like all of a sudden 7 of 9 pops up. And I'm like, all right, dude, whatever. Like, okay, so this is just Star Trek The Next Generation fan fiction. Is that what this is? Just like on an HBO budget? Like if this is how we're going to roll, like we can roll. But it's just like I thought this is not what they sold me. I'm very excited that I bought it. But like they sold us, like they literally, you know what I mean? Like they sold us like a contemplative think piece of Picard, maybe reflecting on it. Like one, right. It's almost like one big flashback episode.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like it was like, all right, it's cool. It's going to be a whole season of flashback episodes. I love it. Now we're like, nope, he's going on a new adventure with a new crew and fight the Borg with Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, and Seven of Nine, and eventually they're going to rebuild Data. Like, okay. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, when they rebuild him, like, he's going to be just, like, a little bit fatter because it's Brent Spiner and he's a little bit fatter, you know? So, like, they're not going to get him, like, put together tight enough. He's going to be a little loose, you know? And I say that as someone who looks like Data that was, like, fell apart and was put together just a lot loose. Like, they couldn't figure out the extra parts, so they just kind of, like, put him in there. This is going to be great.
Oh, man. This
is so good.
I mean, what do you think, Regina? I know that you're the Trekkie.
I'm the Trekkie, yeah. Yeah. Well, we actually started watching The Next Generation because I was so excited about this coming out. So it's, again, kind of what Steven said. It wasn't really what I was expecting, but, you know, it's Star Trek. Right. So I'm going to watch right? it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
You know, so
yeah,
And it's Patrick Stewart, and
right,
and he's Patrick Stewart. Like,
yeah,
if it was some like you know story of him in his youth, and it was some other actor or something like that, I don't think I'd be as interested. So this actually made me a little bit more interested in it. So
yeah, I agree,
yeah.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. So we already talked about. Oh, here we go. His Dark Materials, season 1. Super excited about this. I just finished rereading the trilogy in preparation. We still don't have a release date, but HBO says fall. This looks amazing. Absolutely amazing. It doesn't have like crazy star power behind it, which is cool. But yeah. Looks like it's going to be so much better than that terrible Golden Compass movie. Do you guys remember the Golden Compass movie?
I do. I remember it.
I didn't watch it, but I was aware that it existed.
Oh, it was so bad. So this looks like it's going to be much better. I like the fact that it's called His Dark Materials, which gives us the idea that it's going to be the whole thing.
Right.
And not just the Golden Compass. So it looks like they're going to stick to just the Golden Compass for this season is right. What it looks like. So, so yeah, super excited about that.
Yeah.
I love that the demons look, I mean, well, obviously we have much better technology now, but the demons look a lot better, than they did in that movie. So, yeah. Super excited about that.
Probably also has a better budget. I mean, the reality is like HBO series or, you know, they have budgets on par or better than movies because they know.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the Golden Compass was not low on budget though when it was made. I mean, it starred Nicole Kidman. So, you know, she's not a cheap actress. So
I mean, that's where some of the money went. Right, I'm sure they probably, knowing Hollywood, they probably paid some of the extras more than her, but I mean, you're right. I mean, there were definitely some I'm sure there were technical shortfalls by nature of the fact that that movie came out, what, like 8 years ago at this point?
It's more than that, I think.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The internet knows. The internet knows.
Right. I
think it's cool, though. I am very excited for the people that are excited.
Have you ever read the book, Steven? I'm assuming.
Well, thank you very much. It was 2007 that the movie came out, by the way.
Okay.
Many, many years ago at this point.
Yeah.
I read 200 or 300 pages of it and bounced because I didn't really care for it.
Oh, okay.
I made it farther into that than I did into Game of Thrones.
Okay. Well, Game of Thrones, you like stopped after the first chapter, right?
No. I read enough chapters till it rotated characters, and I realized that I hated all of them. You know how like every chapter was about a different
character? Right, has a different character.
So yes. I went through everybody until I got back, and I was like, man, this guy again? And then I was like, all right, when was the last time I liked somebody? Oh, page one. Never mind. I want the bad guys to win.
You didn't like Arya? How could you not like Arya? How could you not like Arya?
It was the first chapter. It's complicated. I thought all of them sucked. It was a long time ago. Maybe now, if I tried to read it again, knowing the end, maybe I might actually give a crap, and maybe someday, but probably not.
Although we don't technically know the end of the books.
Right.
And we probably will never get
okay,
that.
Okay, but I know the end, meaning like I know who turns out to not be a complete just obnoxious waste.
Right. Okay.
Like I at least have somebody to root for.
Yeah.
Because I need at least one person. And really at the end of it, I was like, I just want the White Walkers to come eat everybody. Can we move on? And they didn't, because she killed them. So anyway, I'm very excited for you to be excited for his Dark Materials. I mean, I watched the trailer. That polar bear looks rad, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of
some people.
Right. That's one of the very big advances in the CGI, obviously, is going to be the bears. Mm-hmm. So we got Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, which is super cool, which I didn't know a lot about, but I assumed it was going to be all like ridiculous CG, but it's not. They're doing it with the puppets like they did the original one. There's CG in there, but they're using the puppets. One of the funny things that they have in this, it's not really a trailer, it's more of a sort of like behind the scenes making it thing, is that they've got the puppets like on a green screen, which I thought was just the funniest thing in the world. So, you know, we're not going to CGI this, we're going to use puppets, but we'll put them on a green screen so that we can
CGI the background.
But it's super cool. I'm so excited that they are doing it with the puppets, because it would have been lame if not. So
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm super stoked. The plan in our house is around the time that show comes out. We're going to watch the first movie. We're going to watch the movie.
Yeah.
And then we're going to watch the show. Cause I'm the only person in the house that's seen The Dark Crystal.
Oh, really?
My wife just missed it. You know how like I miss Star Wars? I've told that story like a million times and everybody's bored with it. She did the same thing with Dark Crystal. It just like missed her. She knew that she didn't like the Muppets. So like Jim Henson just didn't have the same grab. Whereas everybody was like, oh, we love Jim Henson. Let's watch Dark Crystal and get really freaked out and take our kids to see it and they'll have nightmares forever. So we're going to watch that, but we're not going to watch it with Megan. I think she's going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Skeksis are nightmare fuel.
They are, yeah. I don't know. I was planning to have Anna watch it. We'll probably still have her watch it. I mean, she's pretty good about it.
Yeah. If I may, your daughter's a little intense.
Has a high tolerance.
That, she comes by that very honestly.
Yes.
But, you know, your daughter's a little intense. So I would not be surprised at all if she was like 100% like, I want to be one of the Skeksis for Halloween, but only if it can be riding a dragon.
Dragon, right.
Like, whereas Maggie's like, She-Ra, Princesses of Power freaks me out. So, like, I'm going to go hide over here.
That's terrible.
One of the bad guys in She-Ra, Princesses of Power is pretty messed up.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah.
But, well, speaking of which, there's a new trailer for She-Ra as
well.
Coming
out soon.
Yep.
That show is way better than it has any right to be.
Yeah, like, I haven't watched it.
I haven't either. Everybody keeps telling me to, though.
It's really good. It's really good. And it's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I mean, I watched it with my daughter. She liked it.
Cool.
Except for the one bad guy that freaks her out.
Okay, let's see. Westworld season 3 trailer was interesting. And that like stuff is happening that we kind of figured was going to happen, and Dolores is totally becoming the bad guy. But there's this whole like time thing with Maeve where she's like in the, what was it, like the 40s or something? Regina, did you watch this trailer?
I didn't get to watch one, no.
Oh,
I didn't even know
it
didn't hit my feed, so I didn't see it. Picard was all over the place, so that was easy, but I didn't get to see this one. So
yeah, I didn't even realize there was one, and so I started looking stuff up to talk about today. But yeah, it's a little weird. Like, I don't know if there's going to be like time travel stuff involved or if she's still, you know, in the amusement, the park, or I don't know. It's a little weird. Definitely looks interesting. I mean, interesting. Like I said, we can tell sort of what's going on. It's turning, looks like it's turning more into like your traditional AI versus people versus thing. Yeah. So, but like, which could, it could be kind of like more cliche and not as interesting. Yeah. So we'll see though. But it's not, that's not coming till next year. Let's see, The Expanse season 4. I have not watched The Expanse. I've read a lot of the books. I've read 4, maybe 5 of the books.
That's on Prime, right?
Did Prime yes, that's on Prime. That's the good thing about all these YouTube videos is you can see the logo for who's doing it. Yeah. Yeah, so that's Prime. But yeah, I like the books. I didn't want to sort of like, there's so many other things I wanted to watch. I didn't want to take the time to watch this. Also, I heard that, that it's not as good. So
I've heard the opposite. I mean, if you,
oh really?
I don't know if you follow Susan Arndt on Twitter, but she used to run The Escapist. She swears by that show.
Huh?
She got an undershave to look like one of the characters.
Wow.
Like she's all in on The Expanse. So like I've heard some folks that are like, that's their jam.
Yeah.
I don't watch it though.
I don't, because I've read, the books have been more than enough for me and I didn't even get through. They're like 12 or something like that. Like I said, I've read like 4 or 5 and they're good books. Like I really recommend them to anybody who likes sci-fi stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but anyhow, I just didn't have any interest in checking out the TV show. So there's this movie called Snowpiercer, which I had actually never heard of. I just watched the trailer just a few minutes ago. Seems like a kind of interesting dystopian thing where the world is like in a hugely ridiculous ice age and all the people who are left are on a train that's mm-hmm. just running around.
That's the show.
So that's literally
that was the movie. Yeah. And now there's a show that's like a prequel.
Okay.
So just before we go too much farther, I do want to address, were you intending to skip over the fact that the original Red Ranger is back in Power Rangers Beast Morphers? I just want to just clarify. Were we just going to skip that?
No, Power Rangers is later on. But go ahead, Steven. Go ahead.
I've been excited. But really, I just want to say the original Red Ranger is no longer, I guess he's back from the adult film industry. And now he's back in Power Rangers Beast Morphers, the new Power Rangers show. That's all. He's back. Okay. It's very important for those of us that like Power Rangers. Also, I don't know if you guys saw the Kickstarter for The Legend of the White Dragon, which mm-hmm. is a gritty Power Rangers style show that features a bunch of Power Rangers actors from across the various series. And it's going to be supposedly like a Netflix style, whatever show. And they're kickstarting it because they couldn't get funding for a gritty Power Rangers show. Go figure.
Right.
But it has Jason David Frank in it. It'd be fun.
Yeah, it's funny. Isaac just popped over here to me, showing me a note on his phone that said Snowpiercer sucks.
Wow. All right. Well,
I had no idea it even existed until today. So,
And now you know that it sucks. I don't think that it's universally reviled. However, right. I guess Isaac has strong feelings about it.
I guess. And so we've got a bunch of trailers from CW of their DC Comics heroes.
The big deal is they got Brandon Routh to come back and reprise his role as Superman. I think that's like they're doing their Crisis on Infinite Earths next year is like kind of mm-hmm. a wrap up for a lot of their shows.
Yeah.
Where there's going to be a bunch of Supermans. And the fact they got Brandon Routh to reprise his role is pretty impressive. Partially cool. Because he also plays a superhero on the CW because he's the Atom or whatever. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out, but.
Yeah. The thing about these trailers is it seemed like, I mean, I haven't watched these shows and probably won't because we don't have cable anymore. So I don't watch the CW, but it just seems like these trailers give away a lot of stuff.
Well,
like,
I mean, but we all know the Crisis on Infinite Earths plotline. Like, it's kind of like, what else is there to see?
I actually don't know anything about it, but it seemed like what could be very important characters getting killed, and it's like, well, maybe you don't want to give all of that away, but who knows? I don't know. I can't claim to be an expert on that.
I don't even know what channel the CW is, and I have cable. Like, I don't think I would have to use voice commands to find the CW on my television. So, like, that just to show you how all in I am. Although this next season of Supergirl, she wears pants. And people are very excited that she's wearing pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So there's a Harley Quinn animated show. Well, from this Screen Rant thing, the video I couldn't watch on YouTube. But anyhow,
Not safe for work.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yo, this is not a children's cartoon with Harley Quinn.
Okay.
This is like at what point she's like making out with Poison Ivy and she's cussing with dudes and she's like murdering guys and there's blood everywhere. This is not your child's Harley Quinn. Not like any child should have Harley Quinn. She's not a role model. For the love of God, stop dressing your daughters up like Harley Quinn. She's a villain.
Yeah, well, we can thank DC Superhero Girls for that.
Yep.
Because she's just the spunky one.
She's
the goofy one. Yeah.
She's got the personality.
How about this? If she's dressed up, if they are dressed up like Harley Quinn from DC Superhero Girls, I'm in. If I see one more six-year-old with daddy's little whatever, like one of those shirts on. Daddy's Little Monster, is that what it says? If I see one more of those shirts, I'm going to call the police. Because, like, that's child endangerment. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah. So we got another trailer for The Watchmen, which I don't know very much about the comic series at all.
I read that comic.
Yeah?
It's good.
You good?
It's really good. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's a must read if you like graphic novels. The movie was not a great adaptation of it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But I think a TV series might be a better fit. I mean, this has been proven, right? Like books.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to find the right medium, and movies aren't perfect for everything.
Yeah.
This gives them a little bit more time to explore some of the deeper stuff. But if they get really deep into the weeds, some of those episodes are going to be really freaking weird.
Yeah.
I think this might even be a prequel series. I'm not really sure, but if it happens to be an adaptation of that comic, be ready for some weird, weird stuff.
Okay. I mean, it looks interesting.
Sure.
Let's see what else here.
The visuals look amazing.
Yeah. So there's Preacher season 4. I don't even know about that show at all. Do you guys know anything about that show?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. Apparently, since none of us know about it, it's not important. So I'm just going to skip down here. So there's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6. This is going to be the last season of this, right? I think it is.
Yep. They confirmed it. It's the last season.
Yeah. So I haven't watched that one either. Let's see.
Too many seasons.
We talked about She-Ra already. Invader Zim. I was just getting ready to watch this trailer when we decided to start recording. Steven, did you watch this? This seems like the type of thing that you would like.
My business partner has a Invader Zim, like they have Invader Zim custom license plates and stickers.
Wow.
And like they're all in on Invader Zim. You know what? It's funny.
Okay.
It didn't like change my universe. I've watched it. This is absolutely the kind of movie like my sons will watch, and then they will go watch the old show. It's funny. Cool. It's funny. It's not. I'm not naming my kid Gurr or anything crazy, but it's funny.
I've never watched it, so let's see what else we got here. Steven Universe the movie. Is another show I've never watched. I know Isabella
confirmed
is really
to be
into
taking
that.
Place. Confirmed yes. to be taking place several years in the future after the timeline of the show. Mm. This is one of those shows that I think I haven't watched it. I'm going to eventually. I'm just waiting until they're done. I think because I just can't keep up. I think this is one of those shows that's going to be like Avatar The Last Airbender. Like, when it's done, people are going to go back and, like, really start to respect it even more for what it is. Like, I know it's fundamentally good, you know? I mean, it looks great. I just can't keep up. There's just too, I don't know where to start. So I'm just going to wait until they're done and buy the Blu-ray.
Right.
Like, you know, like, that's what I'm doing with Legend of Korra. Like, I still haven't seen it all, but we're finishing up the last book of Avatar, and we're just going to buy Korra, and then I'll watch it there. Just that way I don't screw anything up. I'll do that with Steven Universe, too. Okay. Fans of the show are super hyped for Steven Universe.
I tried to go to – Isabella was on a panel
on
for
a panel.
Steven Universe at Geek Girl Con, and so I went, and I sat through it, and I'm like, I literally have no idea what anybody's talking about right now. I couldn't follow it at all, and not because I haven't watched the show. And I told her that after, like, you might make sure. I mean, that it was standing room only, like, and they were
one of
the big rooms, so they had like 400 chairs, and you know, people were queued up outside to get in.
Wow!
This show is super popular.
It's super popular, and from just what I could glean of it, one of the reasons why is because it is gender inclusive, and it's you know, got all this stuff, and they're playing some of the songs, and they were talking about what the characters mean, and like three of the panelists were dressed in cosplay from the show, so like it's clearly got its points of impact.
Right.
But I was having a hard time following who the characters were, and then I was like writing notes to ask her later to explain this to
me.
Yeah,
I get so confused because there's the characters, but they confuse and become other characters.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't.
It made me feel very old. I felt very old in that moment. I was like, oh God, I've like missed this whole thing, and it's like got this high cultural currency, and I'm literally clueless.
The secret, Regina, is we are old. That's the truth.
I am still in denial about that.
It's crazy though. But I'm, you know, that movie is going to do very, very well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's only a Netflix thing, but I don't think it's going to.
It doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter. Makes no at all.
Let's see what else we got here. Rick and Morty season 4.
Yeah.
Don't watch the show. Yeah.
God, I hate Rick and Morty fans.
And now we've gotten to the Power Rangers.
Okay. So. All that matters is Hasbro bought the rights to Power Rangers. So now there's actually going to be good Power Ranger stuff. The end.
Okay.
Saban screwed it up, right? I mean, the reality is it's a perfect formula for a half hour long commercial. To sell toys and all sorts of other stuff, right? Like, they don't even make their own, like, it's all adapted from a Japanese show. So, like, really, it's just take Japanese stuff, make some teenage hyper drama, find some, like, hot athletic teenagers / early 20s kids to play teenagers, make them do melodramatic stuff, like, with an old guy or an old dog or an old robot to be their mentor. Bada boom, you've got a show. So like Saban didn't, you know, they milked it to the ground, but the reality is like you have to be the right kind of company to milk a franchise really, really well. And guess who is really, really good at that? Hasbro. So they bought Power Rangers. I mean, when I went to Toy Fair, they showed us the Beast Morpher stuff, and I was like, all right, now we're in. Right. So, and they're clearly respecting the heritage. I'm using super duper air quotes because Power Rangers is really dumb, right? It's just so dumb, but I love it. But like, they bring back Jason, the original Red Ranger. That's a really big deal to dudes my age. Because, you know, I remember him. And so it's going to be cool, whatever. I mean, Hasbro's going to make good Power Ranger stuff, and they're rebooting the crappy movie from a couple of years ago. That's the other news that kind of popped out. The show's there, but they're going to make a new Power Rangers movie. And it's probably going to be good because Hasbro knows how to do stuff.
Yeah, cool. So, of course, I'm, you know, hyper vigilant to Game of Thrones stuff. So I'm sure that there were other very eventful things that happened at San Diego Comic-Con. But the one that hit me, it's that Nikolai Coster-Waldau, who plays Jaime Lannister, actually got booed during the Game of Thrones panel when he basically said that, you know, he was okay or even happy with the way that he and Cersei died. And I'm like, man, really, people? Really? Like, we can't just all, like, agree to disagree? I'm like...
Have you met the internet?
No.
Have you met fandom in general? No one agrees to disagree.
Yeah, I know. It's just like... I was really curious when I knew that they were going to do another panel, how they were going to be received this year. So yeah, that's that. I mean, that's all I heard bad about it, but I saw footage of them. They had like an entire like circular table for them to do autographs. You know, like they were all seated, like Maisie Williams and Nikolai Coston, everybody else was there. There were quite a few of the big actors weren't there. Kit Harington wasn't there. Amelia Clark wasn't there, but many of them were. And so they had this massive sort of place where they were all seated around to do autographs, which was pretty cool. And so there was another trailer that dropped recently that was not anything to do with Comic-Con, I don't think, but that is the trailer for Cats, which is the movie adaptation of the Broadway show, which looks, I don't know, interesting, maybe?
It does not look good. It does not look good. I mean, come on. I mean, like... That show on Broadway is like one of the most visually stunning, like it is known for its makeup effects and its costumes. And they decided to forego that to make the Cat in the Hat sing Memories. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I saw better special effects on Epic Rap Battles of History. Like, it really just bothered me. I mean, the cast is great. I'm sure they're going to, I mean, yeah. Jennifer Hudson,
it's a crazy
Taylor Swift,
cast.
All them.
Yeah. Ian McKellen. Yeah. It's crazy.
Ian McKellen. Cast. Sure. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's just, this feels like they tried a little bit and just someone had a great idea and it just got away from them.
Yeah, like, you know, lots of the Broadway shows where they'll translate very well to film. Mm-hmm. Like, Rent was very good as a film. But Cats, like, it's just, I don't know whose idea this was to take this from the stage.
I have a feeling it was one of those things that they were like, why has nobody made a movie of Cats? It's been on Broadway forever.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just do that. Like, let's do that. And then here we are.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like somebody lost a bet and they just had to go through
Quite
with it.
Possibly.
And they're spending a lot of money. I mean, the reality is it could be tremendous, but it's not going to be because of its visuals.
Right.
If it's going to be good, it's going to be because the performance
the music and
is
the acting.
Just And I'm sure, we know the music is going to be fantastic. Because the music from Cats is fantastic, but it's like...
Yeah. The performances of the music, because you can have movies of musicals, and then they force actors into them who can't sing. I would like to cite Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, that's fair.
In Mamma Mia, and Liam Neeson in Les Miserables, because that movie would have been great had they put somebody who could actually sing in the lead role.
Counterpoint. They have Taylor Swift and Jennifer Hudson in this. They can sing, so we'll be fine. I mean...
That's two. There's many more Cats than that, but that's okay.
Yeah, but Jennifer Hudson and Taylor Swift are good enough for me. Realistically, I also have zero expectations of this movie. Like, I mean...
Well, that'll help.
It looks so it looks so terrifying. Like, you know, like I'm just really glad my wife isn't into it because she would make me go.
I have to dig up my I went as a cat from Cats for Halloween 1 year. So.
Okay. All right.
I saw it on Broadway. Did either of you guys see the show?
I saw it. I haven't seen it on Broadway. I saw it. You know how they tour? So I saw it in San Francisco twice. So once
I've seen some of the musical numbers performed as like, you know, one of those types of deals, but no, I haven't seen the actual show.
Yeah.
But I have great respect for it. And yeah. I do not have great respect for the CGI that they did, because again, I saw better CGI on Epic Rap Battles of History, which is a YouTube show. So. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. Like, it's weird. Like I said, when I saw it in the theater, it was amazing. Even though I know it's sort of like, it's like the joke of like Broadway theater. Like everybody's okay. Like, oh, you know, some of the sort of like, you know, the people who are really into theater, like it's sort of the, I don't know why it's a joke. I thought it was
because it's immensely fantastic. Popular and has been around forever. So obviously people hate it. It's the right. Same thing as people like making fun of Game of Thrones, like,
yeah,
trying to say it's bad. It's like, I mean, I make fun of it, but I know it's right. Good. It's like, yeah. you're just hating on it because it's so good.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Like hating on Marvel movies.
Right. Speaking of which, that's a nice little segue there. Thanks, yeah. Steven.
It's like I'm a professional.
Right. So non-Comic-Con news. So Spider-Man Far From Home came out since the last time we talked. I've seen it. Steven, I assume you have seen it.
Which? Spider-Man Far From Home?
Spider-Man, oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Regina, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Oh, okay. I liked it. I liked it quite a lot. I know I've lots of my friends are be like, oh, you know, it's okay. It's like a, you know, a nice sort of like midway sort of, you know, segue into sort of this new Avengers stuff. But I really liked it. I like the goofy Spider-Man movies. I was confused at the beginning because I'm like, I didn't know a lot about it. And then like Mysterio shows up. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, I know I'm not super expert on these comics, but I'm pretty sure Mysterio was a bad guy. I'm like, what is going on here? I was very confused. But anyhow, what were you going to say, Steve?
I will say that we took Jacob, who did not see Endgame.
Because, oh, yeah.
Remember, he went through his phase of I don't like comic book movies, so we didn't spend the money to take him to go see Endgame.
Yeah.
And then so we brought him to see Spider-Man because he decided he wanted to see it. And, oh boy, does Spider-Man Far From Home spoil the end of Endgame.
Right.
Because he had been, and I don't know how, but he had been somehow shielding himself from spoilers.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. He decided afterwards that he was going to try and watch it when my mom bought it on Vudu. And then he was like, yeah, I'll go see Spider-Man. And it didn't even occur to us that he cared. And then, right. like 15 minutes in the movie, he just leans forward into the front of the row and he goes, Dad, spoilers. And then he leans back and I was like, oh, my bad.
Right.
I'm like, you don't know how it happened. And he was mad.
Consequences. But,
yeah. I told him afterwards, I was like, next time, don't try and be that edgy 10-year-old that tells us you don't like comic book movies because we might take you seriously and not drag you to something you don't want. He also got, you know what? I can't say anything. This is a spoiler. I don't want to ruin it for Regina. But I have a really funny story that I can do it without a spoiler. There's some awkward relationship-y stuff because they're teenagers. And when one of those things happens towards the end of the film, Jacob stood up and screamed, awkward, in the middle of like a silent theater.
That's awesome.
And it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
That's hilarious.
So he's just like awkward because both he and Evan are in that stage when there's like any of that smooching going on, they get really awkward. Evan gets really quiet. Jacob just is like, and it's that kind of stuff is in a lot of things that I just completely don't even pay attention to, but now I absolutely do because I want to see what my kids do.
Nice. Yeah. My biggest thing from that I absolutely loved was the Edith technology, which stands for Even Dead, I'm the Hero. I thought that was just brilliant.
I feel like that's something that should be in Deadpool.
Absolutely brilliant. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was so good. It's not just that. I mean, it is the end of Phase 4. They just said it specifically. Like, there was no end credit scene in for Endgame because Spider-Man Far From Home was supposed to be the end of Phase 3. I'm sorry. Phase 4 is starting now. And it sure did it. Very good. You know, it's going to be coming to – and no wonder they – made this game come out and they didn't say, or not game, this movie come out and they didn't say anything about what was happening in Phase 4 until Comic-Con. And yeah, they just waited until the end of Spider-Man because everything would have been wacky.
Right. Yeah, I very much enjoyed it too. So Stranger Things season 3 happened. Everybody's going on saying about how awesome this season was and they loved it and it was amazing. And I just did not care for it really. And I had a nice conversation with Jay, if you're listening, hey, shout out, on Facebook about sort of why I didn't like it. And like, I have always thought of Stranger Things as sort of being a horror movie, like an 80s campy right. type thing, right, but yeah. A horror thing. Right. And this season was not that. And I think I posted on Facebook, I'm like, you know, there's this whole thing about horror movies where once you show the audience the monster,
right.
you have to over. End it. Yeah, mm-hmm. you have to end it quickly. Yeah. But we've seen the monster throughout the entirety of two seasons.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, some of it was funny. And like people are just like, oh, character development. I'm like, okay, yeah, character development from being 12 to being 16 and having the very traditional high school awkwardness character development. Like, right. oh, I love her, but I'm not going to tell her. But, you know, all that kind of stuff going mm-hmm. on. So I didn't like this season as much as I didn't like season 2 as much as season 1. So
yeah, that's how Chris felt about it. We haven't actually watched season 3 because we're just like,
yeah,
neither one of us decided about going back. So
yeah, that's the way I was too. Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh, everybody's watching it and it's on now, so let's go ahead and do it. So mm-hmm. So another sort of teenage show that I checked out and probably am not going to watch the rest of is Euphoria. This is an HBO show.
Oh yeah, I saw that when
definitely
I was on Big Little Lies today.
Not for kids.
No.
And probably not for lots of parents either. This show is one of the reasons why I don't know if I'm going to finish it is, well, for a couple reasons. I think it's just purposefully going for shock value mm-hmm. for the stuff that it's showing. And also, not one of the characters in the show is likable. Like, Steven, you said you didn't like the characters of Game of Thrones. This is like times five, like completely unlikable characters. Although one funny thing did happen is because I said to Isaac, was like, I was thinking of how I would describe it to people if they asked me, and it would have been like my so-called life on drugs, like literally on drugs.
Yeah.
And then in one episode, one of the characters is watching my so-called life. I'm like, oh my God.
Don't okay. nail it.
Yeah, they nailed it. They nailed it there. So anyhow, so that's that. If you want, it's almost like a morbid curiosity type thing now, if you want to check out this show. And maybe it gets better later on. But for me, it's just really just like shock value type thing. And like maybe trying to make parents of teenagers have heart attacks because of all the things these teens are doing. But anyhow, so there's a warning. If you're the parent of a teenager, maybe you might not want to watch this. So let's see here. Handmaid's Tale is continuing to be interesting. Wow. This last episode was really, it was kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, it was hard to watch. It reminded me of, so I always compare, there was a movie that was actually a remake of a Swedish movie, I think, called Insomnia with mm-hmm. Al Pacino.
Uh-huh.
90s, 2000s, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I was just like, this is awful. This is a terrible movie. And I realized that one of the reasons why I disliked it so much was because it actually like managed to create the sense in its viewer of the experience of having insomnia.
Mm.
So okay. You're just like that, you know, when you're off, like, cause you haven't gotten enough sleep, like it created right. that, like, I don't know, itchy brain or whatever that you get yeah. when you haven't rested yeah, yeah. enough. So that is what I would say about that episode of the most recent episode of Handmaid's Tale, that yeah. We're drawn into her experience of the isolation
yeah.
and and the essentially the torture that they put her in. So
yeah. Yeah, it was really interesting to me. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I just love how this season, I think I've said it before, that June is not, she's not the all amazing hero. Like, you support everything that she does, like not anymore.
What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but I also want to bring up the fact that I feel like the show needs to end this season. Like, I feel like it's getting to the point where the story is at a place where it really needs to end, because like now we have heard her say like three times, like, I'm going to get you out, or I'm going to get out, or, you know, that stops having the same impact each time she says it. Yeah. So while I like this season, I kind of feel like this is, they got to wrap it up here, because I do think the story is really being stretched at this point.
Yeah.
So, well, I
mean, you know, if you think about it too, the first, the book material ended in the first season. And I know that, Margaret Atwood is working on the scripts and the storyline, and she's going to write a book based on, you know, like a second book to it now.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but I think one of the reasons why it had its impact was because it didn't, like, this isn't a sustainable universe.
Right. Right. You know, exactly.
They're not sustainable characters, because just too much damage and too much trauma has happened to everybody, and you can't keep that going.
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of the problem with it.
Yeah.
I was reading some commentary that had said that too, that it said season two had gotten sort of overly graphic. Because season two was the episode where she like delivered her own baby. So,
right. Yeah. You know, I didn't have a problem with that at all, because I do still feel like,
wait, hold on. I just want to make sure that we're doing phrasing still. So she said that she delivered her own baby, and you just said you did that and it didn't really impact you. I just want to clarify. You mean you watched that?
No, I watched it.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
I did that. I get that. Okay. I thought you said, I get that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, man. Listen, if we're going to, that would have been a story. I would think that after knowing you as long as I did, if you delivered your own child, I would have known about it by now. I think that that's a story you would tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I didn't. I guess really, you know, people are like, oh my God, like, you know, the show is like getting me. And I don't know what it says about me, but I haven't had that type of reaction to the show, really.
I did through much of the first season, and through a lot of the first season, mostly every time she remembered what it was like to be with her daughter before everything happened, and what she was missing. I had a lot then. And I had some of that in the second season, especially once she had the baby and then she wasn't able to be near her. Yeah, but I'm not feeling any of that this season. I feel a real disconnect to June. I don't feel connected to her like I did before. And I haven't really investigated why.
Yeah, I think she's just and it's understandable for the character to turn into the sort of mean, what's the word I'm looking for? It's too late. I can't think of
sadist.
It.
She's a sadist now.
And vengeful.
Yeah, type she wants character to too. Inflict pain on people. And then this whole like storyline with the handmaid who is pregnant. And and I get that, like, I get her anger, but like the bullying, I was just like, oh, she turned into a bully. And maybe that's it. Like, I couldn't handle the fact that she had been so respected and so protected by all the other handmaids that she just took them and turned them against everybody or turned them against I don't know whatever her name was.
Off Matthew. I don't think we ever got her real name. I don't know if it ever said her real name.
Actually, I think in the last episode that Jeannie knew it, but I don't remember what it was.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing, too, in that episode, the sort of flipped the thing of, like, Janine, who is typically the crazy one,
yeah,
recognized that June was being crazy. Yeah. And So that was an interesting flip too. And I am curious to see how that dynamic with the Handmaid is going to change now.
I'm 100% invested in the story, but I think I agree with you that it's not the kind of universe and it's not the kind of story that sustains for multiple seasons. And people are pushing that boundary now.
Yeah, definitely.
Something has to give or she has to die. Right.
It's got to end. It's got to have a terrible ending or it's got to have a happy ending. But I feel like it's got to have an ending. I mean, it's
together
yeah.
with you on that.
Yeah. So there's that. So and then Big Little Lies season finale just happened this past week. And oh my God, talk about the most annoying cliffhanger in the world.
Mm-hmm. they had to guarantee themselves the third season.
Yeah, although I've heard that there's no plan for a third season at this point, which is interesting. It's like, well, I mean, the people from HBO have chalked up to the fact that the actresses are just, you know, busy doing other things.
Right, and, yeah. Like, I mean, the cast is insane. I was thinking that today. I'm like, some of the acting in this has just been so insanely good.
Yeah, yeah, it's been wonderful. And Meryl Streep, man. As the sister-in-law, mother-in-law, I mean, so good of sort of like, you know, this sort of almost like she's acting like she's oblivious to like her sort of her own faults type thing. And oh, it was so good. And that the Nicole Kidman taking her down in court was just amazing.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. So
I mean, the way they both acted it, like this, like the play. Oh God, it was good.
Yeah, yeah.
That was some good TV.
Lots of people said that they didn't think that this season was as good as the last season. But what I kind of think is that the last season, to me, like the thing that drove it was sort of like the sort of mystery of like, oh my God, who's actually dead and how did they die?
Right.
You know, and you're trying to get all these pieces together. And so it's kind of like a mystery whodunit. This was not a mystery this time around. This is more of an emotional character development type thing. And one of the things that I liked about the season two is that there was more sort of exploration of how this type of thing affects the kids.
Yeah.
And that was way more interesting to me. So I really I liked this season just as much as the first one. Yeah. I won't say it's better, but I definitely liked it just as much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't want to give away spoilers, but oh my God, cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well, you had put that up on Facebook and I was behind on the episodes. And then I was like, we're going to talk about this tonight. I'm catching up on the show because I don't want to like being here, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something to be seen.
Yeah. And so I most recently watched Good Omens, which is probably something I would not have watched had it not been for the very large controversy or the very amusing controversy that had happened in relation to this show. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. I could understand why very devout Christians find it offensive. But I thought it was great. What the actor's name? Michael Sheen and David Tennant. It was really, they did an awesome job, I think.
Yeah,
I really liked it. I want to read the book now because I hadn't read the book.
Right.
But just the whole concept of sort of like the baby swap of the Antichrist is just freaking hilarious to me. But anyhow, very good. I very much recommend it. Regina, you should watch it. And that's all I've got for movies and TV. Was there something that you guys watched that you want to talk about?
Do we want to do a rundown from the Hall H Marvel panel real fast?
Sure.
Like, so they announced pretty much the entire Phase 4 for Marvel, which is insane. Let me get the image. Let me get the, cause they announced the whole thing. All right, here we go. I'm going to go real fast.
Okay.
May 1st of next year is Black Widow. So there's nothing the rest of this year, Marvel wise, until next May. So that's Black Widow. That's going to take place in between Winter Soldier and Avengers, something like that. Okay. So it's a prequel, obviously. then fall of 2020 is the Disney Plus show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Then in November of 2020 is The Eternals, which has stars Selma Hayek and Angelina Jolie. And that's going to be a big deal. It's really hard to explain without going into the weeds. It's just going to be a very big deal. Then February of 2021 is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So Marvel is making a full-on martial arts epic. So that's going to be amazing. Spring of 2021 is a Disney Plus show, WandaVision, which is about Wanda and Vision.
right.
Then May 7th of 2021 is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. This is being billed as the first Marvel Cinematic Universe horror movie.
Oh.
That's going to be great. Then spring of 2021 is the Disney Plus show Loki. And then summer of 2021 is the Marvel Cinematic Universe animated show What If, which is going to be a series of animated episodes that are all about alternate possibilities. And basically everyone in the MCU is using their voices. This is going to be really kind of cool. Then in fall of 2021 is Hawkeye on Disney Plus. And most importantly, November 5th of 2021, Thor Love and Thunder, which is super important. That's making lots of incels on the internet really, really upset because Natalie Portman is coming back and she is going to be the Mighty Thor, which is important because the Mighty Thor is Jane Foster as Thor with like the helmet with the face mask and she's really sarcastic and she beats Thor up a lot like the other Thor who is then referred to as Odin's son. And yeah, that's going to be a wild ride. And they gave Natalie Portman Mjolnir on the Hall H stage.
Yeah.
Shout out to your girl, Jessica Chobot, for hosting the Hall H panel.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, I know. That's
her bills. Yeah. Her day rate just went up. Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, she just told me recently she's all freelance now because she was working for the Nerdist, you know, doing their new show. But we were just chatting over Twitter recently, and yeah, she's freelance now and planning to move to Amsterdam next year, apparently. So there's that too.
She'll be flying all over the place. She can just kind of do whatever she wants. She did a very good job on that. Also, they announced Blade.
Okay.
Which is a real big deal. It's starring the dude from the Green Book. It's the one about the piano guy that it won an Oscar. He came out and they announced Blade and like nerds everywhere just died, just spontaneously just fell over dead. There was so much hype in that Hall H panel. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Hall H. There's going to be hype about everything that shows up there.
Isn't H for hype?
Right.
Maybe unintentionally. I don't know if they do that on purpose, but yeah. Okay.
You can pretend.
There's another thing too. Speaking of Jessica Chobot, she posted this picture of people. There was a person cosplaying as the coffee cup that got left on set on Game of Thrones.
Okay, that's real funny.
I
told you when I went to a viewing party for the episode after the episode where the cup got left, and somebody left a Starbucks cup on the TV stand.
Nice.
Just like covertly, just kind of left it there to see if anyone knows.
And I just remember too, there's a trailer, not San Diego Comic-Con, it actually came out a couple weeks ago, and that's for the live action Mulan movie that's coming.
Looks
super cool.
Looks good. Yeah.
Lots of people are complaining that there's no music in it, but I just recently watched regular Mulan with my daughter, and let me tell you, aside from the reflection song that she sings at the beginning, you do not want that music in a film today. You just do not. I was almost like, oh crap, I forgot about this stuff. I don't want Anna listening to this crap.
Okay, but like counterpoint.
Okay.
Let's get down to business. Like, I can make a man out of you. Like, the whole... That... Okay. But we know why they did that.
Yeah, I know,
but it was meant to... It was meant to be, like, right on the nose. Because, like, obviously they're not going to make a man out of her because she's a lady. It was intended that way. I don't know.
Yes, I understand that. Fine. I don't know. I mean, the bigger thing that I don't even know if that's the case that I would have a problem with is, and lots of people seem to have a problem with, is Nomushu.
I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that he's going to be in there, but he's going to be not a dragon.
Oh.
He's going to be like a phoenix or something. I think I read something that he's going to be in there.
That is just wrong. That would change my entire feelings about that movie. You can't put him in there and have him not be a dragon. I had to use that as the bribe to get Anna to watch the movie with me.
Yeah,
there's a dragon in it.
That. Yeah. Or no, you put that on Facebook and you said she's worried about how dragons are portrayed.
Yeah. Yes, because she was at, I don't know, PAX or some video game conference. Maybe it was even the Northwest, the old school arcade show that they have out here, where they were playing Dragon's Lair. Isaac was playing Dragon's Lair with her, and when she found out that the bad guy at the end was the dragon and that you had to kill him, she just stopped. I'm not going to play this.
Nope.
Nope.
It's my friend, sorry.
Yep, exactly. I just love it. I just love it. That she's very sensitive to, you know, dragons should not be made out to be the bad guys all the time.
I mean, listen, I get it, but there's lots of evil dragons.
Right.
What are you going to do when you watch The Hobbit when they remake it in a bunch of years? Not this crappy one, but like in like 10 years when they remake The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
You can watch the supercut somebody did of just like made it into one movie. On YouTube.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hobbit movies.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Fair. All right. So is that it then?
Oh, I saw one more thing that we didn't talk about. I saw the new Men in Black.
Oh, how was that?
I enjoyed it very much.
Cool.
And very I am a huge fan of the original movie.
Nice.
So one of my favorites. They did a good job sort of like staying within it, but like, and the aliens were really cool. Like some of the effects that they did for the new aliens were really cool. So
awesome.
Just put that out there. If you haven't seen it, you might enjoy it. You're hesitant.
Yes. I was wondering about that. So that's good to know.
It's enjoyable.
All right. So is that it then? Did we cover everything, Steven?
I think so.
I think we did, in fact, that we covered everything. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up then. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any other feedback, you can send an email to geekingmoms@gmail.com. That is also our handle on Twitter. My personal handle is @NicoleTanner. I still write for the Geek Embassy, is not as regularly as I have been.
As has been the case with all of us.
And I also have a podcast called Geeky Thrones Girl, of which I have not recorded an episode in about 3 weeks. So there's that. But if you are interested in hearing the plot recap of the entire television show and my detailed thoughts on season 8, go and listen to that. I'm still sort of floundering about how I'm going to continue this. So that's me. So Regina is head geek at the Geek Embassy and host of the Game On Girl podcast. We know that we have not had very steady content on the Geek Embassy, but what is coming?
There is some good content up there right now. Nicole has an article coming out this week, so make sure to go check that out about Game of Thrones.
The books this time.
The books
specifically
this time.
Talking about the books. Yeah.
Specifically about the books. So the biggest news is that the Geek Embassy will be at Rose City Comic Con in September. I will be presenting a panel, What's Your Gamer Type? Which is based on my dissertation research and interviewing a panel of gamers / ambassadors from the Geek Embassy. So if you are local, please come see that. If you're not local, fly in. It's a fantastic con. Come see it anyway. Nicole and I will be on a panel at Geek Girl Con, which is in November, mid-November. So that's way out this year.
Yeah, in Seattle.
Talking about the women of Game of Thrones and
portrayal this time.
Yeah, looking at it a different angle, which I think is going to be super interesting given how the last season went. I'm going to also be on a panel about found family and talking about stories that have people who come together from completely different places and make a family together. So we'll have, I don't know any of the times for any of those panels yet.
Yeah.
But keep an eye out for that and come see us.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Steven is editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming. Steven, what has been going on over there?
So interestingly enough, I took the entire month of July off producing new content to kind of focus on some other stuff and also getting kids ready for camp. And we've all had pneumonia. Yeah. So I just called it. Oh, geez. I was like, we're just taking a month. We're coming back with a vengeance. I've still been producing the regular podcast, which we are about to reach episode 200.
Nice.
Which is quite a big deal. And I've still been doing the daily commute, which comes out 3 times a week or so. Where I cover a laser specific topic, sometimes for as little as 5 minutes. So if you really just want quick opinions on a thing, I got your hot takes. But yeah, we're just moving towards getting back to work. Mm. So just find us on Facebook is the best place to do it. Go to engagefamilygaming.com/Facebook or facebook.com/engagefamilygaming because we're fancy. And join in on the fun because, you know, that's, we got all sorts of crazy stuff on our Facebook page every day.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll be back with you in 2 weeks. We swear. Actually, I probably shouldn't swear.
No, you probably shouldn't.
That's the plan.
We'll be back soon, guys.
Yeah, we will be back soon. All right.
Bye.
Bye.